now reached the portion of our service we had the opportunity to partake in communion as it was instituted by Jesus during the Lord's Supper. If you would like to read along with me in your Bible, I will be reading from Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. Again, that's Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. And it reads, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" We now have the opportunity to do the same, and let us first do so by giving thanks for the bread. Dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, we thank you for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the remission of our sins, and so that we may have the opportunity for everlasting life to be in heaven. We pray, Lord, as we partake of this bread, that we do it in a way and a manner that is pleasing in thy sight. It's in your precious Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.
Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 through verse 18. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me until his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Again, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for your blessings. Once again, as we open your word, we pray that our minds are ready to receive the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. We pray for those that are listening that may apply what has been taught to their lives. Continue to watch over us, lead us, guide us, and protect us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning we want to talk about the Lord stood with me. The Apostle Paul, as he writes these words, is in prison, charged with the insurrection against the Roman Empire. He has spent almost 4 years in prison, 2 back in Israel and nearly 2 more in Rome. He had already appeared in court at least once, and now the court is waiting for more evidence to arrive from his accusers. So he writes these words that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in them is revealed the way Christianity works and makes a difference in our lives. Number one, what we can find is that God gives us grace to face the disappointment of life. Look at verse 16 again. Paul says, "At my defense, no man came." No man stood with me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. One way that Christianity works in our lives is revealed when we realize that God gives us grace to face the disappointments in life. Paul says, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Do you hear the disappointment in his words? Back in verse 10, he wrote, Demas, because he loved this present world, has forsaken me and gone to Thessalonica. Now, in other letters, Paul mentions long lists of friends. So we know that there were those who could have given testimony on his behalf. They could have stood beside him and said, we know that Paul is not violent. We know he is not guilty of these charges. We know he is innocent. They could have spoken up for him. But for some reason, whether they were afraid for their own lives or whatever, they simply weren't there. And we hear his disappointment. No one came. He said, everyone deserted me. We all, no doubt, can identify that some folk will stand with you until the going gets rough. Sometimes you just can't count on the people that you expect to be able to count on. Paul said no one came to his aid. How do you handle that kind of disappointment, that kind of headache? Let's notice how Paul handled it and see how ultimately he had learned it from Jesus. He prayed, may it not be held against them. That's an amazing attitude. But Paul didn't come up with that idea on his own. He learned it years earlier from Stephen while holding the coat of those who were stoning Stephen to death. When Stephen was dying, remember, he looked up at heaven and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. But where did Stephen learn it? From Jesus hanging on the cross. Jesus looked down and saw those who had driven nails in his hands and feet and those who were laughing and mocking and cursing him. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The clear message is this. When disappointments come, a Christian forgives. If you don't forgive, then bitterness begins to grow and seek its tentacles deep into your life, and it can eat you up. Now, what about us? Have you ever been disappointed, heartbroken? Maybe it's a spouse. You stood before the altar of God and promised each other that you would always be faithful to one another, for better, for worse, for richer or for poor, in sickness and in health. But things went wrong, and that one you thought you could trust walked away, and your heart ached. Maybe it's a friend who promised always to be there for you. You can count on them. But when the chips were down, when the pressure was on, they didn't want to be involved, so they walked away. You know how we use a deal with such disappointments. We get angry. We seek revenge. We want to pay them back. We want to get even one way or another. But it was Dale Carnegie who wrote, when we hate our enemies, we give them power over us, power over our sleep, over our appetite, our happiness. They would dance with joy if they knew how much they were wearing us. Our hate is not hurting them at all, but it is turning our days and our nights into hellish turmoil. That's true. When we harbor resentment, you see the fruit of an unforgiving heart is bitterness. We become more and more bitter and angry. And the result is that we virtually destroy ourselves. But the message of Christ is that when people disappoint us, we are to pray for them. That's not easy. And chances are we won't be able to do it on our own. That's the reason God gives grace. God gives us grace to face the disappointment. That's the way it works. But then secondly, God gives strength to face the trials of life. In verse 17, Paul says, "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it." Christianity works as God gives us strength to face the trials of life. Notice what Paul says. The Lord stood at my side. It means the Lord was there. Oh, my friend deserted me. But the Lord was right there at my side. As I was going through this trial, and he gave me the strength I needed. But now, church, friends and neighbors, let's be careful to notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that the Lord saved Paul from the trial. That's important for us to realize. Because you see, some people seem to think that when we become Christians, there will be no more trials in life. And life will suddenly become a bed of roses and everything will be wonderful and God will make us rich and God will make us successful and God will make us healthy and nothing will go wrong from that moment. But the Bible never teaches that. God did not save Daniel from being cast into the lion's den, but he was with him and delivered him. He didn't save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from being cast in the fiery furnace. But he was there with them and delivered them. He did not save David from the valley of the shadow of death. But he walked through that valley with him. But here is what the Bible teaches. It teaches that when we become a Christian, we may still experience the hardship and the trials of life. Christians get cancer. Christians die of heart attacks. Christians have automobile accidents. Christians lose their job. Christians experience heartache just like everybody else. There is no immunity. And maybe the hardest of all, there isn't always an explanation, but only this promise: I will never leave you and never forsake you. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. There's a promise in Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When you pass through the water, I'll be with you. When you pass through the river, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flame will not set you ablaze. God doesn't say that we won't pass through the waters, or that the rivers won't overflow, or that the fires won't come. But God does say that when the floods do come, when the flames of life lick at us, we will not be set ablaze or swept away, because I will be with you and I'll never forsake you. But then thirdly, the Lord gives us hope for the end of life. In verse 18, Paul writes, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Christianity works because the Lord gives us hope for the end of life. Our hope is not just some pipe dream. It is founded and grounded on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen to Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6-8. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, but not to me only, but unto all those that love his appearing. Paul said, the Lord stood with me. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you trust the Lord, and if you obey him, the Lord will stand with you. So if you're listening and have not obeyed the gospel, what is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4. Once you heard that word, the gospel, you believe it to be true, Romans 10, 17. You repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Then go down in the water of the grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. For baptism is a burial, Romans 6, 3 and 4. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature. In Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Then the Lord adds you to his church, Acts 2, verse 47. What church? The church he built. Matthew 16 and verse 18. The church he purchased with his own blood. Acts 20, verse 28. The church that he is the head, the Savior, he loved it. And he's coming back for it. Ephesians 5, 23 through 27. But then you got to live faithfully unto death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. If you're already a child of God, you're straight away have not been living as a Christian should. If you desire prayer, if you want to know more about the Church of Christ, whatever your desire is, call us at 734-482-4922. Or you can call the building and leave a message, 734-483-1864. We're here to assist you in any way we can. We have two more songs and a closing prayer.
Father in the Lord, Father in the Lord. Father, we thank you for your oversight and care for us during the recent weeks while we have all been dealing with the COVID-19 virus and the many struggles that it has brought with it. We ask that you continue to watch over us and keep us safe from this evil virus as we continue to put our faith in you and your Son. We understand that you are not the cause of this pandemic, and we know that you have allowed it to come to our world for reasons that are only known by you. We pray, as always, that your will be done in all things. Thank you for the Sunday morning session sermons and Wednesday evening Bible lessons that Skippy has shared with us during the last several weeks. They have been very uplifting and very much needed. We commend all who have been participating in these weekly services, and we pray that our efforts are pleasing to you as well. Father, we ask that you continue to bless our members, who understand that their faithful giving needs to continue during these trying times. We know that you are mindful of their efforts to please you. Father, we pray for all who are now facing physical, economical, or spiritual problems. We ask that you look down on all who seek your help with their concerns. Many, or may we continue to look for opportunities to help each other and then do good when we can help. May we never forget that you are always on our side in the good times and in the bad times as well. As we see signs that the current situation is improving, we continue to look forward to the day when we will once again assemble together to fellowship with each other while we worship you in spirit and in truth. As we close this prayer, we want to truly thank you for sending your Son Jesus the Christ to die on the cruel cross of Calvary so that we may have a better life while we are living on this earth, and so that we may have opportunity to live with you in heaven forever and ever. We love you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen.